Well, good morning. Good morning, Bob Hatch and Eileen. I see you out there. Thank you. Well, this is Palm Sunday, and it's the day when Jesus had a triumphal entry, and within 5 days they put him up on a cross, right? So we need to be careful about where we're at and what we're doing. But what I wanted to talk about today is something that God says we build for or make for ourselves, and something he asks us to make for him. And I think in the process of that, we'll keep bringing Jesus in as the triumphal entry into our lives. But let me just start with a word of prayer and we can engage. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you for this worship this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together and be a people, be family unto you, O God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in Exodus chapter 20 this morning. And Exodus chapter 20 is a fairly popular or part of the scripture that's well known. It starts off talking about the Ten Commandments that most children up to a few years ago could quote, not anymore. But it's the some of the basic things that we have learned from the Old Testament is the Ten Commandments. And we all know them. He talks about it coming out of bondage in Egypt. And then he says, you shall make before me no other gods. And he said, don't make any graven images. And he goes on to talk about the other nine. And when he finishes that, the scripture in verse 18, it starts to talk about where this was given, and it's talking about when the people witnessed the thunder and the lightning and the flashes all before the mountain, the people trembled and they stood far off and they were all upset because God was so awesome. Moses tried to explain to them what God was doing. He said, God is doing this to test you so that you will have fear in your life that you will not sin against him. But they still said, no, you speak to us. God speak to Moses, and he wanted Moses to speak to the people. So now, starting in verse 22, it says, then God said to Moses, and now he say this to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked to you from heaven, and you shall make for yourselves, you shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver, gods of gold, you shall not make for yourselves. So he actually repeats here now the second commandment, and it's like he's highlighting it here, what he tells us is that we make these things for ourselves. What he's talking about is idols. What he's talking about is gods for ourselves. And it says, don't make any of these things to be with me. This is such an important point because when Moses is speaking this, he's not speaking it to the foreign nations. He's speaking it to the children of Israel. And the children of Israel's God was the God of heaven. And yet what he's saying is, don't make anything for yourselves to be with me. So what he's expressing is Christ alone. What he's expressing is God alone in our lives. This is what we need. But we like to make for ourselves is something for us. It says gods of silver and gold. Precious metals, things that we think are precious. Let me turn over to Psalm 115 and see this in a little more detail. In Psalm 115, starting verse 1, it tries to set a perspective here in the beginning of this psalm. And it says, not unto us, but unto you, O God, but to your name we give glory. See, the point is that it's not about us. It's not about what we want. It's about who God is and his glory. And it says, because of your mercy and because of your truth. Then it asks this question, why do the Gentiles say, where is your God? See, they ask that question a lot because our God is in heaven and he's not visible. He's not there as a statue. He's not there as something that represents him. And he's not in a place where you have to go and worship in that place, but he's in heaven. But it says, so then it repeats this that we read just earlier. It says, but God is in heaven and he does whatever he wants, whatever he pleases him. This is something that's important for us to understand, that God does whatever pleases him. But then it starts to say that their idols are silver and gold, works of man's hands. And it starts to describe them. It says they have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, they do not see. They have ears, and they cannot hear. They have noses, but they can't smell. See, all of our attributes, we like to make something that represents that, something that will help us see something, but they don't work. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nose, they do not smell. Hands, and they cannot handle. They have feet, but they cannot walk. And they have throats, but they cannot mutter. And then verse 8 speaks a spiritual truth. It says, those who make them will be like them, and everyone who trusts in them. So what it's saying here is that when we make an idol in our life that cannot do anything for us, that we become like them. We become like them spiritually. We have eyes, but we cannot see spiritually. We have a nose, but we cannot smell. We have ears, and we cannot hear, because we have made an idol to substitute what God is supposed to be giving to us. I want to go back and spend a little bit of time on what these idols are in our life. But before that, there is an answer for us to get the idols out of our lives so that we can deal with God and God alone. He states it back in Exodus chapter 20, verse 24. He says, an altar of earth you shall make for me, that you may sacrifice on it burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen, in every place where you record my name, you will make for me, and I will bless you. So what we see is that God is asking us to, what he wants us to make for him is an altar. And the altar really represents our life. It's who we are. And we become the altar of God so that we lay our lives down in a place of sacrifice. But notice what it's made out of. It's not made out of things that we think are precious. It's not made out of silver and gold that we would look at as important. But it's made out of the earth. I don't know about you, but that's what we are made out of, right? You know, God breathed into a mud man and we became a living soul, right? That's what it says in the scripture. And so this altar is this thing made of earth. It's nothing special. Look around. Look at me. There's nothing special. There's nothing that the world would look at and say, you know, this is good. But we become an altar made to the Lord, and we have a place where we sacrifice our lives down on that altar. And I know many of you, and I've known many of you that have gone through this place of sacrifice where you've laid your life down for God. And you have suffered. And you've gone through things where you have laid aside your own desires, you've laid aside your own interest, and you raised up and you laid your life down in such a way that you have become a sacrifice, a burnt offering. And it's been pleasing to God. And as you see, that is the place where we find ourselves, that we don't want the idols anymore. Because we realize that, you know, idol could be anything that you are trusting in, anything that you're putting before the Lord. It could be money. It could be your job. It could be your health. We're all getting to that place of our health being placed upon this altar where only God can take care of us. But if we put our trust in other things, then it stops God from being able to bless us. I love this scripture because God says, build an altar every place where I record my name. Well, I know that God has recorded his name in me. And I know that he's recorded his name in you guys. When we receive the Lord, we heard about it today, that the Lord makes us his temple and he records his name upon our life. And that's the place to build the altar, a place to build sacrifice for the Lord. But it goes on and it says, if you make an altar out of stone, you shall not build it out of hewn stones, for if you use a tool on it, you will profane it. You see, we can build an altar to the Lord, and yet we decide to use man's methods. And that's what this is talking about, is using a man's tool to make the stones the right shape, so they make a nice looking altar instead of these round ugly stones. And so the altar of stone is just a pure and natural thing, and not something that man will design and make it out of his own thinking. I see that we have done this in many Christian circles where we have used man's methods to try to disciple the children of God, and it ends up in usually some level of disaster and pride. What this word really says is that you shall not profane it. And we talked about something that's profane is taking something that's precious or sacred and make it common. And that's what happens when we put a tool or a man-made method to what God is doing in our life. If you are structuring your life in such a way that you only meet with God in your agenda, then I think you're using a tool on what God wants to do in your life. So we need to be careful not to profane or make something that's precious and make it into something that's common. Then the next point it says is that you shall not go up by steps on the altar, that your nakedness may be exposed on it. This is an interesting thing where I guess the reason you would put steps on an altar because you want to make it really high, you know, get it up there so everybody can see what you're sacrificing on it. And if you did that, you know, they wore dresses back then, and so when you walked up on the steps to the altar, you would expose your nakedness on it. And this is exactly what happens when we try to promote ourselves. We try to have a ministry that we're promoting, and we're trying to get the word out about what God is doing through me, right? You know, you're promoting yourself in such a way, you're raising up your altar in such a way that you're exposing your human nakedness. And God says, don't do this. Just make it a simple altar out of things that are not impressive by the world. But I wanted to return back to talk a little bit about what we put on this altar, because I only mentioned one thing, but there's two things that it talks about, and both are extremely important, because on the one hand we sacrifice burnt offerings, which is our lives being laid down for Christ. And we lay them down in a way that is putting them to death. And these are the things that are in our lives that we put before the Lord and put above the Lord, and we lay them down in such a way that we humble ourselves. Humility is such an important thing in the kingdom of God. It's, in my mind, the first of the Beatitudes because it's the most important. It said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall enter the kingdom of God. See, humility is like the door that opens up for us, and it exposes or opens up the kingdom to us when we humble ourselves. And the only way that we do these sacrifices of our life upon the altar is through humility. And humility takes that place so that we're able to take that thing that we hold dear, that thing that we have pride about, and we lay it down on the altar for it to go into his hands and for him to deal with the situation. But the second thing is equally important. It says, and your peace offerings. A peace offering is something that you would make to have peace between the two parties, right? So it's a place where I come and I find peace with the Lord or with the other person. So it ends up being, in other places it talks about as a fellowship offering. And it's a place of meeting. It's a place of, the altar is the place where you lay down your life and then you come to peace with the Lord and he meets with you and you have communion with him and you find him in a place where of surrender. Surrender in your life in such a way that it doesn't matter about all these other concerns I have in my life. It doesn't matter what all my fears are about, because I can lay them down and be a place of peace with the Lord and what he has for me in my life. One thing I find that Christians do for an idol in their life, and they sound so spiritual, is when they use the scriptures in a way that almost seems like they're manipulating God for their needs. You see this in the faith movement where they're always quoting the scriptures to God about healing or wealth or other things that they're wanting God to bring. They're, you know, the Bible says this, I'm claiming it. And to me, that's not a place of surrender or peace with God, but it's a place of striving and of potentially trying to manipulate God for his favor. I particularly like, let's just look at that, Psalm 18, I didn't mean 118. Psalm 18 talks about, in verse 25, it talks about things, it says, it's talking about God, and he says, with the merciful, he shows himself to be merciful. With a blameless man, he shows himself to be blameless. And with the pure, he shows himself to be pure. And with the and with the devious, he shows himself to be shrewd. I particularly like this scripture because it shows me that God cannot be manipulated. God cannot be just put through a place where we say the right words and he's going to perform do the right things for us. Religious systems, that's what they do. They get all the right words and they try to manipulate what God will do. And then the outcome is something that's like having eyes, but they cannot see. Because the word of God at times I see has become an idol to people and they put it before the Lord instead of understanding that if we come to him as an altar and we lay our lives down and we are fully exposed upon that altar and in that place we then bring a peace offering and we find ourselves in fellowship with him. And in that process, he may speak to us by his word and tell us that he will heal us. Then we need to hold to that. We need to hold to that and rely on him to complete the word that he has spoken to us. But to use his word just to manipulate him is something that we need to be careful about. So again, The scripture tells us, or God tells us, not to build, make for ourselves anything to be with him. And that's the point that I want to try to drive home tonight or today, that we need to go before God with a pure heart. We need to go before God and lay our lives down and be at that place of humility. And then in that process, be at peace and have fellowship with him. And see what he says. To know his heart, for him to know our heart, and for us to find a place where that we are at peace in our life. Because many of us here are on the latter side of our lives. A lot of our lives have already passed, right? And we may be in our heart disappointed at times with either what we have accomplished or where we're at or how we're feeling about things. And yet God says, come to me and find this place, this peace offering, so that our lives can be full of him. I have my concerns about me and my family, and these things I need to go before the Lord and have peace, find peace with him about these things. And as I lay those things down and I have peace, find peace with God, then I see that God, many times in my life, has come and completed something in my life totally different than what I expected. I love to tell stories in my life how God surprised me. How he gave me something that was a prayer in my heart that I never sometimes even fully verbalized, and yet he came and he blessed me with a surprising thing that just met my heart more fully than anything else I could have thought about. And it's a beautiful thing when we find the Lord, even in our latter lives. And I think in some ways it's easier in our latter lives because we're able to look back and see how God has blessed us. And we have faith, can have greater faith for the future. Isn't that true? I know I'm talking to the choir, as they say. But this is what the world is looking for. They're looking for peace, and yet they need to know that they need to lay their lives down on that altar, on their altar that they made for God, and then they will find peace. It doesn't come any other way. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the blessing of you. We thank you for the blessing of your Holy Spirit that is, as was spoken about today, rivers of living water coming up within us and out of us. And in that process, we are filled with great joy. We are filled with peace. We are filled with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, for this is the kingdom of God. And we're so thankful that you have brought the kingdom of God to us, and we can walk in it and be a part of it. And we have entered in through that door of humility in every way, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that that you are a good God, full of mercy, full of grace. These are not just words that we speak, but they're reality to us, O God, for we have experienced them, we have known you, and we thank you for being in our hearts. So bless us today, that we may go out and be a blessing for those around us. Give us your peace, that we may know the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm sorry, I just got reminded of a little story that happened to me this last week. I went to the credit union, and I'm up to the counter, and I gave the person, this young girl, a check and to put into the bank, and she says to me, "Are you a pastor?" And I said, "Well, yes. I said, "How did you know?" I said, "I don't know." She said, my dad's a pastor, and you just had that look about you." And so I said to her, "Well, maybe it's the peace of the Lord." And she said, "Yeah, that's it." And so I chatted with her a little bit about her dad, and it sounds like he's a wonderful guy. And he has a small church just over here, not too far away. But I was blessed by that, because she saw it. It's the peace of God that we carry with us, and people are noticing. In this case, she was a believer, but other people are also seeing it. So praise the Lord.